Amen. Galatians chapter 3 this morning. Boy, it's a good place to be. Good place to be. Amen. Well, if you ain't shouted yet, you probably missed your opportunity. Amen. The Lord's here and He's got a message on our heart. And it don't fit with the atmosphere, but it'll be okay. And we'll just mind the Lord. I learned a long time ago, you just mind the Lord. You preach what God tells you to preach. And every preacher preaches to some degree. We preach for an effect. We want it to have an effect on people. But I've learned a long time ago that's the Holy Spirit's job. And I trust that He'll help us. I know we've been in this for several weeks now. And I'm going to read these verses again out of Galatians 3. And I'll make some comments that we've made over the last few weeks, not out of redundancy, but I believe this. I perceive in my heart the Lord's up to something in this thought that He's laid on our heart. And some of y'all walked out of here last Sunday morning absolutely troubled and under conviction, and you need to be born again and you need to be saved. And I don't want to do this just out of redundancy, but I want to read our verses again. And I want to just kind of ease on back into where we left off last week. And then I want to give you some thoughts today that the Lord's laid on our heart. Now, you bear with me, okay? It's rather lengthy, and I'll try not to be long, but it's rather lengthy, some of the things I want to get to today. And it ain't one of them honey stick, shout her out, jump over a pew thoughts that the Lord's got us headed into today. And so you might want to buckle your seatbelt, hang with me. If you're saved and you know it and you're right with God, pray for your pastor this morning at the Lord that you just stand with me, if you will, Galatians 3. And let's begin reading in verse number 19. The Bible said, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Or as many of you as been baptized into Christ have been or have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You can be seated this morning. Pray with us at the Lord to help His Father. One more time, I want to bow my head and ask you, Father, that you'd be with us this morning. You know where we are and what we have need of. Father, Lord, it's preaching time, and Lord, you've called on us, Lord, for these next little while and few moments. Father, Lord, to preach the Word of God. You've laid these verses on our heart over the last several weeks, and Father, we believe, and Lord, you've confirmed in our heart that, Lord, you're doing something, and God, we don't see it yet. And Father, we don't know what it is yet, but Father, Lord, I pray you continue the work you've begun. And Father, trouble sinners today. And Father, revive the saints of God today. And Father, in every way I pray that you touch every life, young and old, male or female, a church member or visitor. Father, I pray this morning that the Spirit of God would be given liberty to move and to work in every life and in every heart and in every mind to the honor and the glory of God. Father, I pray, put a spirit of conviction, Lord, upon this service, Lord, the next few moments, I pray, Lord, would change somebody's life, not because it's me and not because it's our church, but Father, I pray for your glory and your honor, Lord, for your credit, And Lord, to your praise, I pray that you do something today. And Lord, we'll bless you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. These verses in this chapter are dealing with the subject of the law. We understand as we have gone through this chapter to some degree over the last several weeks that Paul is writing to a crowd that he had preached to one day and they had been marvelously and wondrously saved by the gospel and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And since Paul has left, there's been a crowd that has come up and has begun to dissuade these Galatian believers and draw them back into Judaism or mingling, we could say mingling, of the keeping and the works of the law with that of the gospel and the grace of God that they had received, that had literally changed their lives. And Paul is writing to them according to verse number 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set for crucified among you. And so he reminds them that they're not gaining some higher knowledge and some greater level of Christianity, rather by accepting the things that have come up and began to be preached to them, that literally they become fools in the eyes of Paul for being bewitched by this crown that has come up. And what they were doing, they were saying, listen, Abraham's our father, and we don't mind you taking the grace of Christ and receiving the gospel message, but you've also got to keep the law if you're going to go to heaven and if you're going to be in the family of Abraham. And Paul is expounding that in this passage of scripture, that Abraham was not justified by the law, for the law was after Abraham, and how the promises were made to Abraham, they were received by Abraham by faith, and in doing so God accounted it to him as righteousness, and my friend Abraham entered into the family of God. Now the promise is made to Abraham that all the earth in Abraham would be blessed are not attained by the keeping of the law. They're not attained by doing good. They're not attained, Paul is arguing, by, my friend, manifesting some outward righteous deed that would be by the law. And so he clearly states in the end of this chapter, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It's not, my friend, about the law, but it's about Christ and him having been received by faith. That's what he said in verse 26. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so Paul takes up the subject of the law. We understand this morning that the subject of the law is found throughout the Word of God. And we've dealt with and have run through several passages. John 1:17 said that the law was given by Moses. We see there the commencement of the law and how that it was given to Mount Sinai. My friend, God spoke it and wrote it down there atop Mount Sinai. Moses brought it back and delivered it unto the children of Israel there encamped around Mount Sinai. It was given in thunder. It was given in power. It was given in sovereignty. It was given in a sight of great holiness and fear and dread. Did the law come by Moses? We noted that Paul said in Romans 7 in verse number 12, he deals with the character of the law. That was that has been given by Moses, as Paul declared, that the law is not a bad thing. The law, it's not that the law is not good. In fact, he declares that the law is good and just and holy. And literally what I believe Paul is saying is that the law that came by Moses is given by God, has been given to mankind as a reflection of the character of the God that is given in it. Amen. When you read and you study the law and you understand that even the small section of the law that we know is the Ten Commandments, literally they're a reflection, my friend, of the holiness and the goodness and the the justness, saith, of the God that gave it to you and me. Amen. It's a reminder that God is holy, yet, and that God in his holy character demands that man, if he's going to have any relationship with God at all, that he must be made good and just and holy. Amen. Friend, we understand today that God is a holy God. In fact, amen, he's not just holy, he's holy, holy, holy. He's the thrice holy God that is called the Holy Father. He's referenced in the Word of God, and one of the names he bears is the Holy Spirit. The place that he would meet with mankind in the Old Testament was back in the Holy of Holies. Why? Because he's a holy God, and in the law that he's given, my friend, is reflected in that law his very holy nature. We understand today not only the commencement of the law and the character of the law, but the confines of the law, according to Acts 13:38-39, and Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 12. You're in Galatians chapter 3. You can look back in chapter 2 and verse 16. And Paul said, and not by the that the Bible said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even what have believed in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And so what is the confines of the law? The Bible teaches over and over that the law is confined in that as holy and good and just as it is, and it's never brought salvation and redemption to mankind. Our confines, the law can only take you so far. And we're studying that, and we get to that in a moment. We understand today that it's confined, and that, my friend, you can get, my friend, all but one of the laws, and you'd fall short of ever being saved by the righteousness that is by the law. And so it's never justified anyone. It's never saved anyone. It's never brought redemption to anyone. It's never given life to anyone. My friend, the law and the works of the law, my friend, are confined in that you cannot be saved by the law. Doing good, turning a new way, and trying to do better today than the rest of the days of your life, my friend, will leave you lost and undone, because the confine of the law is that it can save and justify no one of lost humanity. We notice the conclusion of the law in Romans 10:4, but the end of the law is Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that when you meet Christ, the law, and we'll see this later on, probably next week or two, and my friend, the end of the law, the conclusion of the law, ends with Christ. Christ said in Matthew 5, I think not that I'm come to destroy the law. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He said, my friend, the law will not pass away until every jot and every tittle of the law has been fulfilled. The law demands that, my friend, a man live up to absolutely everything God has said, in that which is good, and that which is just, and that which is holy. Where David failed, and Moses failed, and Samuel failed, and Samson failed, and the three Hebrew boys failed, and Daniel failed, amen, 2,000 years ago, amen, Christ showed up, and he fulfilled every bend, amen, that the law demanded, amen, and the law from the first time, was satisfied, and it ends with Christ. Thank God today. Amen. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But thank God today for Jesus and him coming and fulfilling that which you and I were absolutely hopeless to ever fulfill, the conclusion of the law. We're dealing with that Galatians 3 of the commission of the law. What is its job? What has it been given to do? The law today is still in effect, and the law today still hovers over humanity today. Amen. There's a crowd that is out there. It says, my friend, the law has been done away with, and thank God we're not under the old economy anymore. That doesn't mean that the law doesn't stand today
friend, and stare in the very souls of humanity and understand that Paul's argument under the Galatians is that the law, it's not that the law is unimportant. In fact, the law is very important. That's his argument. And my friend, the law is absolutely important, but not in the way that they had received it and come to believe it to be. It had never saved you, and you've got to understand that. There is still a purpose and a commission and a responsibility that the law has over lost humanity today. What is that? What is it? Paul argues in verse number 19 and in verse number 20 that it has a suppressive responsibility or a suppressive function. He said, wherefore then serveth the law? What was it given for? What is it? What purpose does it serve humanity? He said it was added because of transgression. In other words, God gave mankind his law, the law of God, to tell mankind to stop your sinful living. Amen. It was added because of transgression. And the law can't make you do right. And the law can never force you to obey it. And the law, my friend, there's no way that the law can make you do right. My friend, listen, even as a little boy, I was taught them 10 commandments. Amen. I was taught to honor God and honor the Sabbath. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. And so forth today. And my friend, even as a young boy, amen, our sinful nature was as real and alive as anybody said. My friend, I knew when I had done wrong. I knew before I was getting ready to do wrong. Amen, you better not do this. How to know that? Because of the suppressive function of the law, it reminds mankind that God has raised a high standard. And God added the law, my friend, because of transgression. Man, we can preach that. That's why our generation doesn't like old time fundamental Bible preaching that deals with what's right and wrong and what God said is good and what God said is bad. My friend, because they want to live in all their immorality. They want to sleep around and swap wives and smoke dope and get drunk. And when you preach the law, Brother Gerald, amen, it comes in and reminds them that God said you can't do this. Amen. All right. It's got a suppressive function, and it's got a supportive function. He said in verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which should have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. His question is then, is the law that which they have clung to in an improper way? He's arguing, is that, and does the law move against what we have in faithful Abraham? And his argument is absolutely not. And my friend, they go hand in hand. And the law actually is lifting up the promises. We'll see next week. And literally, the law is exposing mankind through types and pictures and shadows. And my friend, Jesus is the better way. And Jesus is the only way. And the blood must be shed. And the blood must be received, and the blood must atone for our sin. What is the law then doing? It is lifting up the promises that was made to Abraham through the person and the reflection that the law gives of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every animal slain, every aspect of worship in that Old Testament economy under the law supports and lifts the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why, my friend, under the law there in the wilderness, man began to grumble against God, and he sent the fiery serpents in, and God said to Moses, as people were being bitten and were dying and were being slain, he said, lift high brazen serpent up in the middle of the camp. way up there, and then all they got to do is look to that, that on the cross, and it's been uplifted and it's taken their judgment, and they'll be saved from the perishing that is to come. And John 3, Nicodemus, who knew the law and knew the old economy and knew all the stories that had taken place, the Lord looked at him and said, Nicodemus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What is he doing? He's saying literally, under that law, the law was supporting Jesus Christ. It was reminding men that there was a sacrifice to come, and that, my friend, the promises made to faithful Abraham would be received, not by keeping the law, but by the one that the law represented, my friend, in the Lord Jesus. Well, I digress from there. I'm getting bogged down again. Hang with me now. We find that it has a schooling function, not only a suppressive and a supportive function, but it has a schooling function. And this is where, and we're really trying to get to preach out this morning. Now notice what he said. He said in verse number 24, wherefore the law was our what? It was our schoolmaster, amen, and it had a specific function in this matter of schooling and being the schoolmaster. He said it was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now, what is Paul saying? Paul is saying this, that the law is important, and the law had a function, and that function was a schooling function, and that the law, listen, I've made this statement the last few weeks. Billy Mitchell made it, and I wish I'd have come up with it, but it's as true today as it's ever been. It's absolutely true that the law cannot save you, and it's also true you can't get saved without the law. The law has a schooling function, my friend, as it works in the lives of those that are lost, my friend, literally bringing them to the crossroads where they make the decision, my friend, what they're going to do with Christ. Now, the word schoolmaster literally means a servant whose office it was to take children to school, failure to find it, as a tutor or a guardian or guide of boys. He goes on to describe a schoolmaster as a trustworthy slave who is charged with the duty of supervising the life and morals of boys belonging to the better class. The law was given by Moses to the Jews. And my friend, it was intended to be a guide and intended to protect them and to lead them to Christ until the time of maturity, till they matured into manhood. The law was to be there literally. The idea is that until Christ would come, and my friend, the law would be over them, pointing them to Him, and then when they would grow up, receive Him, grow up, and my friend, they would reach a maturity in Christ, not in the keeping of the law. Now, my friend, understand it's important enough that these boys were only brought up by the schoolmaster. They were not born by the schoolmaster. The schoolmaster wasn't the one that gave them life. The schoolmaster didn't birth them. It didn't conceive them. The schoolmaster was just given, my friend, by God to watch over them. And so we understand today that the law has never given life. And the law has never, my friend, has never birthed anybody. It only brings us along. It only brings us up. And so Paul argues, my friend, that the law is our schoolmaster. And so we're preaching on this thought on simply the schoolmaster. The schoolmaster, hang with me, I'm going somewhere, and it won't take me long. I got a lot to give you, amen, in about 15 minutes, but you got to hang with me. Watch it now. We dealt with last week, and it teaches us that as a schoolmaster, the law teaches us about our sinfulness. When you begin to look at at the law and the law begins to look into your soul, my friend, the first thing the law would teach you is that there's nothing good in you. There's nothing just in you. There's nothing holy in you. That you're absolutely depraved. Have you? And I'm not arguing and fussing today, but I've heard folks stand up and testify, and I think I know what they mean. My friend, God help us get a hold of this. I've heard folks stand up and say, I just want to thank God that He saw something worthy in me, that He saved me. Oh, hogwash, friend. You was as wicked on the inside as the biggest drunk in town. There wasn't nothing worthy in you. There's nothing worthy in me. There's nothing worthy in your babies today. My friend, the law teaches mankind that he's absolutely a wicked creature. The law doesn't tell you you're worthy. The law says you're wicked. Amen. Well, you know, God got a good thing when He saved me. Oh, He got, if you are saved, He got out of you what He got out of the rest of His self. Amen. A bunch of wicked mouths, amen, that ought to be in hell burning with their back broke today. Amen. Listen, the law teaches mankind about our sinfulness. You study the Word of God, you understand today. At my friend, Galatians 3 and verse 22. But the Scripture, which is another term that Paul is using, for the law of God. You say, what is the law of God? The law of God's the Scripture. The law of God's everything God said in His Word. And what does the law conclude? What does the Scripture conclude? The Bible said the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. That's you're under sin, I'm under sin. It's kind of what David had in mind over there in the Psalms when he's making confession and getting right with God, when he said, in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, you was born into sin. You was born with a sin nature. You was born with the nature to do wrong. Amen. The Bible says that babies come forth from the womb speaking lies. Amen. You was born a liar. You was born a sinner. You was born sowing deception and discord. Amen. And when, as you grow up, amen, into maturity and physical life, amen, the law is there to remind you and bring you up and teach you about your sinfulness. Paul makes a statement that, my friend, it is the law that, my friend, as it teaches us about our sinfulness, it does so as it convinces us about our sinfulness. Paul made the statement in Romans 7 and verse 8 that he had not known what sin was but by the law. Amen. He didn't know that he was lusting until the law was spoke to his heart one day and said, thou shalt not covet. And all of a sudden, Paul is exposed. Amen, to God's standard instead of his own standard. Amen, he's measured in the eyes of the law of God. Amen, friend, not in the eyes of the law of mankind, not in the standard that some man is raised. When God said, thou shalt not covet, the law smote Paul's heart. And he said, now I know that I'm a sinner. I've got lust on the inside. It teaches us, amen, as it convinces us about our sinfulness. Amen, you can argue with me today, and Newport is filled with it, and Clark County and Jefferson County is filled with it today, men who don't see themselves as sinners, but I promise you, my friend, nearly 18 years ago, a law stared me in the soul, amen, and spoke to me, and what daddy and mama couldn't convince me of, literally convinced me of in my heart that for 17 years that the law convinced me in a moment of time you're a sinner led better death and you're deserving of hell. Teaches us, my friend, as it convinces us about our sinfulness, and not only convincing us about our sinfulness but convicting us of our sinfulness. The law of God will not just tell you sinner. But Paul said in Romans 7, he said, man, He said, there's something that I was doing pretty good when I didn't know the law, when I didn't understand what the law was trying to teach me. But after it convinced me, every time I'd go to sin, there was a conviction on the inside. Amen. There was something on the inside that worked in me, death and guilt and shame. Are you listening? Thank God today for the day that the law convinced me I was a sinner. That, amen. But thank God it didn't leave me alone. Amen. Some of y'all thinking, man, Brother Jeff has got me on the run. And Brother Jeff has got me hemmed up. I wish he'd shut up so I can go home. Here's what you're going to find. Their problem ain't with Brother Jeff. Their problem ain't with the preacher today. The law of God thunders forth and long in the midnight air. And there ain't no choir singing that. And there ain't no preacher preaching that. And there ain't no saints shouting that. Amen. The law of God will still be there that convict you of your sinfulness. You say, but I'm a church member. It don't matter. Amen. The law has been raised up as God's standard to convict mankind and convince mankind as it teaches us about our sinfulness. Amen. Can I show you verses we transition in our second thought this morning about what the law of God teaches us? Listen to this verse. I'm in 1 John in chapter number 3 and in verse number 4 the Bible said, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. But notice what he said. He said, for sin is the transgression of the law. Amen. Well, how much of the law do I have to break and transgress against before it's sin? Amen. Just one point in one manner. In fact, our Lord Jesus taught in his earthly ministry to offend in one point of the law is to be guilty of breaking all the law. Thus, my friend, if sin is the transgression of the law, it only takes me 1 second of my existence, my friend, to transgress the law of God. Whether I know I'm transgressing it or not, it becomes sin in me. Thus, amen, the law of God stands there as I'm transgressing it, saying, wait a minute, bub. Wait a minute, big boy. You have just sinned and transgressed. You just done something God said you can't do. Amen. Are y'all in the building? What has it done? It is revealing and teaching me of my sinfulness. Now, keep that in mind. We're going to use that as we transition here. Notice with me at the law, it is a schooling function, a schoolmaster that is teaching us about our sinfulness. Notice with me, it also teaches you and that about our sentence, if you will, or the judgment that is to fall upon us because sin is the transgression of the law. Now, listen, the law of God and transgressing the law of God ain't like transgressing the law in America today. Lord, you can shoot somebody and get probation and then just go on and live your life. Yeah, man, you can rob and steal and rape and live a lascivious life and go stand in front of some crooked judge somewhere around a bunch of crooked lawyers and you'll get all scot-free. Are you listening? And my friend, just go right on living your life. It ain't that way with the law of God. You may hire a fancy lawyer and get out of some transgression of law in America. My friend, when you violate, transgress the law of God, with that transgression, with that sin, the law also, here's how I wrote it down. You see, the law not only possesses purity, but it pronounces penalty. Amen. There in the law is teaching you and that, as God gave it to Moses to give to the children of God, it is literally teaching you and that, when you sin and transgress the law of God, there's a penalty that's required of your soul. In the book of Ezekiel, here's a statement that the Lord makes, and I'll show you this in just a moment. Amen. The Bible said in Ezekiel, and in chapter number 18, you can read this in verse 4, I believe you'll read it again in verse 13, and you'll read it again in verse number 20 of Ezekiel 18. And the Bible said, God speaking, the soul that sinneth it shall die. What is that? That is the penalty of breaking the law. You don't break the law of God and get back. Amen. You say, but preacher, I've lived my life in sin. I've sowed to sin. I'm living it up. I'm happy living the way that I'm living. You mark it down and listen to this preacher and listen to the word of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You may be getting by today. You may be living it up today. You may be swapping wives and shacking up and living in mall and smoking dope today. The Bible said the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen. The Bible said in Hebrews 9 that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. You may get by with it, but there's coming a day, the wages of sin, he said in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. You only think you're getting by. You only think that you're living life. My friend, your lust is conceived sin, and sin, my friend, after it's worked its way in your life, it's going to bring about a death, and you're going to die yet. And the law of God is standing over, amen, standing over a lost humanity today, and it's trying to teach them not only of their sinfulness, but teaching them there's a penalty to be paid when you break God's law. Are you with me now? Go to the book of Deuteronomy. Let me show you a verse here in Deuteronomy. And in chapter number 24, in Deuteronomy 24, if you say glad about it, say amen. Amen. Lord, have mercy. I need somebody to smile at me. Deuteronomy 24, notice where you're finding that. Notice what Paul said back in Galatians 3 and in verse 23, but before faith came, we were what? We were kept under the law. The law is over humanity. You're under the law. What does that mean? That means everything the law says is going to fall on you and is going to come to you because you have broke the law. You have violated what God said. You have transgressed His law. Whosoever, amen, commit a sin, transgresseth the law. Amen. For sin is a transgression of the law. Everything that law has said would happen to a man is going to fall on a man if he dies being kept under the law. Amen. Notice Deuteronomy 24 and in verse number 16. Oh, God help us now. The father shall not be put to death for the children. Thank God. Amen. You might as well say amen there. There's hope for me today because the father shall not be put to death for the children. And thank God there's hope for my children. Because the Bible said, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. You're going to answer for God for your own sin. We live in this blame game society that says, I am the way I am because of my daddy and because of my mama. Amen. I'm telling you, we're so full of excuses. Or the way we are, you're in the shape you're in there, and cause you're a sinner there, and you're wicked like the rest of us are there. Amen. In the Bible, notice when the Bible said, and the fathers shall not be put to death for their children, and neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. What's that mean? It means a lot of things. One of the things it means is that God and the law have the record. And that there are no excuses when you stand before Him on the day and stand before the law on the day of judgment as sentence is being passed. It's not going to be your father's fault. It's not going to be your children's fault. It's not going to be your mama's fault. It's not going to be the fault of any. Listen, God said, every man shall die. That's the law. That's what the law is teaching us. Every man shall die for his own sin. But preacher, if I would have had a preaching daddy like you did, I wouldn't have wound up the way I wound up. Do you know how many preacher's kids wind up wicked and mean as the devil? Some of the most wicked people I know that I know have grown up in preacher's homes. Might as well say, man, that there are people here today that come out of backgrounds that are unspeakable and unimaginable in the depths of sin and wickedness, but God delivered them from that. Why? Because God is no respecter of person. The law is no respecter of person, and the law is teaching mankind and teaching us about our sentences, saying that every man, you and me and my children and your children, will stand before God one day. And my friend, if we're not saved by Jesus Christ, every man will die for his own sin. Amen. Listen to me now. Amen. Notice with me, when you study the law over and over, the law pronounces penalty. Says if you do this, you're to be put to death. You do that, you're to be put to death. Why? It's teaching mankind that God has a standard of morality and conduct that mankind must live by, and to violate and transgress that is to answer to the law. Not only what the law says to do and not to do, but when you violate it, the law pronounces a penalty for those that transgress the law. Would you bear with me? I know I told you 10 minutes ago I'd be 15 minutes, but would you bear with me a little while? Would you bear with me a little while? I really believe God wants to do something today. What are some of the things God said if a man done, the Lord demanded that he be sentenced and put to death? Hang with me now. Follow along. You're in Deuteronomy. Flip back the book of Leviticus in chapter 20. I promise I'll not expound on every one of these. I just want to read it and I'll mention it and I'll move on. But in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 27, God, please bless your word. Listen to me now. A man, Leviticus 20:27, a man also, or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. You say, preacher, what's that mean? The law is teaching you in that. And when a man violates this matter and involves himself or herself in the matter of witchcraft, they have transgressed the law of God. And the law says there's a sentence of death that is pronounced against you. We're living in a generation of vampire loving, zombie loving, goon loving. Are you listening to me? I'm going to tell you something that's straight out of the pits of hell. And to be involved in that is to transgress the law of God. And the law of God saith, when a man violates that, a law has just pronounced a sentence on him. Amen. The law is going to demand one day that he answers to God for that. Amen. Might as well look on up in here, bunch of Twilight movie loving. I'm feeling like preaching. I said I wasn't going to expound it, but I'm feeling like preaching. Werewolves and vampires and witches. Amen. All that, my friend, is nothing more than a violation of what God said in His law. That when a man or woman involves himself in that, the law of God is going to raise up as a witness and a testimony, and it's going to demand, that God sentence them and put them to death. Yes. Whoa, hallelujah. Y'all look on up in here. Yes, amen. Bunch of witchcraft loving, Ouija board playing. Yep. Mess we got in our day. Lord, I wish somebody'd help me right now. Amen. Bunch of, I'm going to look up my sign and call the palm reader and the fortune teller. All that is bunch of witchcraft. You're playing around with something the law said don't mingle with, don't involve yourself in. And it's, I'm telling you, it's why our generation don't like that old time law preaching. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Witchcraft. Look over. You're in chapter 20. Look in 24. Lord, y'all going to preach me to death. Leviticus 24. The Bible said in verse 13. The Bible said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him as well. The stranger, as he is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. So what's the law teaching me? It's teaching you and I about the sentence that comes or involving ourselves in blaspheming or cursing the name of God. Matter of fact, that's one of the Ten Commandments they taught me when I was coming up in Sunday school. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Amen. You don't curse Him. You don't blaspheme His name. He's a holy name. Amen. It fires me up. You want to get me fired up, sit me down in a restaurant, let some big mouth woman go cursing the name of God. I'm about to stand up and jump on somebody. Whoa, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, and kin to this would be people who let people curse the name of their God. Watch your movies and they curse God here and there and deny God. Amen. You know what you're doing? You're getting mighty close to kin of being guilty of what the law said and not blaspheming and cursing the name of God. Lord, have mercy, Brother Jerry. Hang with me. Blaspheming, cursing. Notice what he said on down here. Look in verse 17. Let me give you another. And the Bible said, and he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. Murder. Under the law, murder, God's saying the law of God is there to remind mankind. And if you get involved in the matter of murdering your neighbor, murdering another man or another woman, that my friend, the law raises up to teach you there's a penalty for breaking that transgression. Here's what the New Testament said, that if you hate your brother, so I ain't ever stabbed nobody. Listen, you ain't got to stab somebody with a knife, shoot somebody with a gun, or choke somebody with your hands to be guilty of murder. Yeah, man, you just hate somebody. In the Bible deals with the fact that's a transgression of the law. I could go on and on. Amen. Listen, dishonoring the Sabbath. Numbers 15, you'll find that Israel found a man that after the Lord had commanded honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy, that there was a stranger among them. They found picking up sticks and they brought him to Moses. And they said, Moses, God said not to do this and that he is to be put to death. What do you say? Moses went to the Lord and said, Lord, what are we to do with this man? He's a stranger. And God said, I meant what I said and said what I meant. You stone him, you deal with him, you put him to death. Why? Because the law of God teaches mankind to violate his law, whether you know it or not. My friend, it is pronouncing penalty of death upon all those that transgress the law of God. Yeah, man, dishonoring the Sabbath. Boy, we live in a generation that does that. Yeah, man, living down on the lake, I see a lot of them claim to be saved. Well, if you're saved, you'd be in the house of God, not out on a bass boat. Yeah, man, you might as well say, man, if you're saved, you won't dishonor the Sabbath. I worry about this crowd says they're saved, and yet there's nothing on the inside of them to reverence and give honor. Amen. In the very least way we can, and that is if you say, get your tail in the house of God. Amen. You don't lay out. You don't, my friend, disregard the place that God has raised up to give honor to His name on the holy day. Now, we ain't no seventh-day Advents around here. Amen. The Sabbath's a holy day. That's on Sunday. It ain't on Saturday. Amen. We meet on Sunday. We meet on Sunday. We meet on Sunday. Amen. On Sunday's a holy day for the New Testament child of God, church age, age of grace. It's Sunday's a holy day. Amen. I don't hunt deer on Sunday. Whoa. I don't mow my grass on Sunday. That's what Saturday's for. Somebody say amen. 6 days, God said when he made the earth. 6 days shall a man work. 6 days. And America's violating that with their 5-day work week. God said you ought to work 6 days, take 1 day to rest and give to God. Whoa, hallelujah. We got a crowd, they want to have a 2-day work week. I'm feeling like preaching. We might be here a while. God said, you work 6 days, and when you come to the seventh day, which is now our first day of the week, our friend on Sunday, it's to be committed to God, not to nobody else. Not to you, and not to your mama, and not to your sick dog. Amen. Jesus even said in the age of grace when Christ came along, he said, now if your ox falls in a ditch on the Sabbath day, go ahead and get it out. But if it gets in there the next week, let the sucker die there. Why? Because it might not be the ox is falling in, it might be you pushing it trying to find an excuse. We got so many excuses, and all it is dishonoring the Sabbath, violating what God said, you honor me 1 day a week. Hallelujah. How you doing? How you doing on the law today? Amen. You say, I ain't under the law. Not according to the Word of God, we're under the law. We're kept under the law till faith comes and we're in Christ. You say, but I'm in Christ. I'm saved. It don't matter. That ain't what Paul's arguing. Paul's saying you got saved and Christ saved you. And thank God you've been set free from the penalty through Christ. And you're not under the penalty of the law anymore. But that don't mean, my friend, you don't live a life in Christ. It brings honor and glory to God. This bunch of walk down the aisle chewing your bubble gum. Amen. How we doing now? Make some little religious profession, and then you get up and you still live in witchcraft, and you still live in transgression of the law. You still live in, my friend, dishonoring the Sabbath, and you still live in blasphemy, and still live violating the law of God that said thou shalt not kill. Guess what? I'd greatly wonder about that kind of profession. God saved me. He put something in me. Tim talked about it in his testimony a little bit ago. He talked about life when he got saved. Thank God I got life. The law brought death. But Christ brought life. He said, I'm come, amen, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I can live for God today. I can do today what I couldn't do before I was saved, and cause the power of Christ and the Holy Ghost and the Trinity of God lives on the inside. Amen. I'm trying to hurry. I'm trying to hurry. I'm telling you, Brother Dean, you, amen, blame it on Dean. He said, I want to hear all you got on this. That's right. Amen. Amen. It's Dean's fault. Amen. Blaspheming God, murder. Dishonoring the Sabbath. What about this? And man, I go on. Just let me give them out quick. What about rebellion? You know what that Old Testament law said over here in Leviticus? I believe it's chapter 21 or 24. The law said if a father or mother had a rebellious son, said, they're to bring him to the elders of the children of Israel congregation and say, this boy won't listen.
Right.
He's wicked. He's a gluttonous and lazy fool.
Yes.
And the law said, stone him. Are you listening? Now, I'm not advocating we stone our children. Thank God we're not living in the realm of what this law instructs, but we're still under what the law says don't do.
Amen.
You say, we don't have that big a problem with this in our generation. Won't you go down to Walmart today? Bunch of rebellious children. Mama says sit down. They don't even know what sit down means. Running, knocking Cheerios off a shelf, screaming. Mom and Daddy saying, now you better stop or I'm going to put you in time out. Amen. Just a little sad note. They don't need time out. Unless it's time out, we going outside and you're going to be crying a while. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. That Old Testament law said if you was a rebel, that you was to be put to death. If you couldn't listen and you couldn't listen. Are you listening to me? The law is teaching us about our sentence. If you're a rebel, the law says you violated that law. You're a rebel. You're living for your own self. You won't listen to the authority God gave over you. Now before God, you've got to have a sentence passed on you. And it ain't some little slap on the wrist. It's a pronouncement of you deserve to die. We could talk about immorality. Under the law, the Bible said if a man were to lie with a damsel in the city and they was caught, the Bible said they was to be brought before the congregation. They were to be stoned with stones. But we're living in an immoral society. I don't want to upset nobody. That junk's creeping in our churches. Bunch of wife swapping going on in churches. It's wicked, friend. It's wicked as it's ever been. Bunch of flirting around. That ain't ever been the will of God. That's a violation of the law of God. Amen. I'll preach it out. Bless God. I'm going to tell you. Amen. A generation that, my friend, has lost sight of just being a nation of morality. A nation with morality. You violate that. You've not only sinned against your own body according to the New Testament, you have violated the law of God. And transgression of law is what? Sin. And the pronouncement is, you're going to stand before God for that. Amen. What about idolatry? Deuteronomy 17, verse 2, 3, 4, and 5. What about Deuteronomy 13, 6 through 10? God said under the law said, if you got a friend that comes to you and says, hey, let's go on out here and go bow down to another god and tries to dissuade you away from God, God said you better take that friend at wicked association. If you hook up with them, they're guilty of death and you're guilty of death. It amazes me. We preach to our children. You watch who you run with now. You be careful what kind of friends you make. While mom and daddy's running around with a bunch of drunken Southern Baptist deacons. It's good for them. It's good for you too. We okay today? I'm feeling a little ornery. Amen? Amen. Running around a bunch of wine bibbers. There ain't nothing in me. Listen, I'll be a friend. I'll be a friend to publicans and sinners. Amen. But there's lines I draw that I ain't running. Listen, I ain't running with them and I ain't condoning their sin. Amen. I try to reach them with the gospel and see them saved. Have the grace of God. That's our job as Christians. But listen, amen. When you can run with wicked people and feel comfortable, you can listen to their music and you can listen to their jokes. And you can carry on in their foolishness. Guess what you've just done? You have violated the law of God. And it's so serious about it, the sentence that it teaches you and I that we deserve before God is to die. Amen. Somebody help me. Lord have mercy. I got 5 more hours just on this. We live in a society, and even in the realms of religion in America, that said, yeah, I'm saved. I said a prayer. I got baptized. I joined the church. And they've never been convinced of what Miss Katie talked about a little bit ago. How wicked and low down and sorry they really are. They can violate the law of God. And listen, the Bible said to save people, if we say we have no sin, we're liars and the truth ain't in us. We all still battle with the flesh. We all still battle with sin. But you understand me and understand me well, if you're really saved, you feel bad about it. I'm not an old preacher. I'm still a young preacher, and I ain't the young preacher that I used to be. I ain't the youngest preacher in the meetings anymore. But I'm still a young preacher. But under my ministry, I felt at times, Brother Jerry, like I was beating my head against a wall trying to get people to understand.
that if you can live in sin and it doesn't convict you, and you can just waltz in and waltz out, head up in the air, and there's no remorse and no conviction and no regret. And I'm not talking about just living under guilt. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. But when you can sin and there is no sense of guilt upon your heart, son, there's something bad wrong. The law of God, when I got saved, showed me what I was and showed me what I deserved. And in fear and in trembling, I gladly, by faith, wanted Jesus Christ. I gladly, are you listening to me? Amen. When the Lord got done working me over and teaching me of my sinfulness and teaching me of my sentence and I was going to die and go to hell and be there for eternity. Amen. That I was reprobate from God and wretched. Amen. Listen, it was Christ or hell. It was Jesus. Amen. Or be separated from God forever. Thank God in that moment I gladly received the Lord. Why? Because the law wouldn't let me go. The law says, this is what you are, and because of what you are, here's every bit of what you deserve. You can go home and you can read Romans chapter 2. I'll not do it this morning. But Paul teaches us of the worthiness of the sentence under the law and teaches us about the wrath of the sentence under the law. What I'm preaching this morning is no easy thing. What I'm preaching today will get me in trouble with some of you church folk. There'll be some of y'all, you'll go out of here and say, was you preaching at me? Hey, look on up in here. Was you in the building?
That's exactly right. Amen. Exactly right.
Was you in the building? You better believe I'm preaching to you. And y'all know me, I struggle and strive not to be one of these bad attitude, bad spirited preaters. But you listen to me, I ain't a batting an eye this morning. The law of God's a serious thing. To violate God's law and to live there and to be comfortable knowing what it has taught you you are, knowing what it's taught you you deserve. My friend, and you can live on, you better check up today. You better check up today. You see, you preach and make people doubt. I told you last week, amen, when God saved me, there's been times I've wondered in my own heart, dear God, did I say the right thing? Dear God, did I do the right thing? But I ain't ever heard a Bible message ever made me doubt. Every Bible message I've ever heard's only confirmed that, my friend, I'm born again, child of God, headed to heaven. Amen. Ain't ever made me doubt. Ain't ever made me mad. Ain't ever made me upset. Ain't ever made me want to quit church. Ain't ever made me want to punch the preacher in the throat. Bible preaching will expose you whether you got it or whether you don't. Let me ask you a question. Do you got it? Do you got it? Is there anything on the inside of you? And I'll show you next week. The last thing the law teaches us is about our salvation. Yes. Now, it can't save you, but it'll lead you to the place where it's Christ or nothing. Yes. The end of the law is Christ. Amen. When you get the end of your road after the law has convinced you and convicted you and taught you of your sinfulness and taught you about your sentence, I know I've been long today. I'm sorry about that, but I can't apologize. It'll bring you to the place where you say, I'm either accepting Christ, He's the only mediator between God and me, and the only way to get out of the punishment for the law, penalty of it, or make a choice to reject Christ and to continue to stay under the law and die in your sin and go to a devil's hell and burn forever and forever. Do you have it today? Please, Sister Candy. Father, we sure do love you and we're thankful for the Word of God. Lord, I know this morning it's been lengthy, and Lord, I know today we've said some things that maybe would trouble some people. Father, it's your Word. Father, today I want to thank you for your Word. It was this kind of preaching, this kind of instruction that got me the end of the road. Lord, showed me what I was before God. Father, I'm thankful for the day the Holy Spirit of God took the law of God and reproved me of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Father, Lord, what I am today, Lord, is only because of the grace of God. Father, I want to thank you that the day you saved me, you put something on the inside. Lord, you put a desire to live for God, and Lord, you put an ability to live for God. Lord, I'm still a nobody and still deserve hell, but Lord, I'm saved today and able, Lord, to live my life to count for you. Lord, I owe that to you. I pray, Father, that you'd help us today. Lord, you said in your word, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Father, our message to this congregation this morning has been, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth and has never been to Calvary, has never truly been born again, will die one day. Stand in judgment before a mighty God with wrath and judgment pointed their direction. Father, help us to understand, Lord, just how guilty, Lord, mankind is before God. Bless the saved today. Send revival to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. We got a few that's come to pray this morning. Here's what I want to do. Is there anybody in the building this morning you'd say by an uplifted hand, preacher, I'm lost, or preacher, I think I'm lost. Preacher, I don't know where I stand with God this morning. Preacher, please pray for me. I'm pretty sure I need to be saved. Is there anybody like that here this morning? God bless you, ma'am. Is there another this morning? Preacher, I've been religious. Preacher, I can talk Bible verses, but preacher, honestly, I've never been born again. Preacher, I realize through the preaching of the Word of God and exalting and expounding the law, I've been so guilty of breaking the law of God, and I've never seen myself as having done that before. Is there another one this morning? Preacher Jeff, please pray for me. I need to be saved. How many say by uplifted hand this morning? Now, serious question. Serious question. Preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's not an ounce of doubt in my heart that I'm saved. I've been saved by Jesus Christ. I know that I'm saved. Could you uplift your hand? I know I'm saved this morning. I know that I'm saved. Just hold it there for a minute. God bless you. God bless you. Put your hand down. Several of y'all couldn't raise your hand. Thank you for being honest. Would you get concerned now? Would you get concerned? If you die today lost, you'll die having been under the law. You'll die with the sad truth of 1 John chapter number 2. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. John went on to talk about how that he was the propitiation for our sin. Speaking to saved people, he's the propitiation for our sin. And not for ours only, but for the sin of the whole world. Jesus Christ came, bled, died, that you could be saved. He's the propitiation for your sin today. If you still are praying, here's what I want to ask you. You raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand. Do you care enough about it today? Do you care enough about it today? Are you concerned enough about it today? That you'd step out where you are, come to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved.